Hi. Well, we were just recording and I found out that the recording wasn't on, and that's very frustrating. So the first few minutes of this version of the Naval Gaze might be fast.
Which I think we're going to say everything we've said already.
Again.
Every single word we're going
to
say exactly again.
Going to do it again. Anyway, welcome to the Naval Gaze. This is maybe our fourth episode? Something like that.
Fourth and a half.
We had an episode that we lost because I am bad at technology, clearly. What happened was our last episode was actually a live episode that we did in the basement of someone's house for a 24-hour comedy festival. So we did it at like 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning with a bunch of drunk people.
Clearly. And
it was fun and very different, and we saw some interesting stuff, but not what we usually do on this podcast.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to us before, I'm Angela Sawyer. Ken Green is my co-host. He's amazing. And we go around to museums, look at the paintings, which are mostly bad, and then we tell you about them so that you can stay home and not go to museums yourself, but still be able to go to parties and show everybody what a judgy, pretentious piece of crap you are. And they'll think you're so smart.
We're like cliff notes for people who don't want to go to museums.
Exactly, exactly. Cultural cliff notes is just what we do. So, today we're at the Peabody Essex Museum, which, as I said before, is neither in Peabody nor in Essex. It is in Salem, Massachusetts, and it's an interesting museum. It's sort of, it's not as big as a museum in the big city, but it's not a tiny focused museum either. So you get a combination of large exhibits that have a real arc to them, but also like weird leftover paintings that they just threw on a wall because they have no idea what to do with them. And that it has a nice, so it's got a nice balance.
Yeah, it's a mix of stuff. It's a lot of nooks and crannies around here. It's like
ways
to go, different levels, and it's pretty nice.
It's pretty good. We're also lucky enough to have Kim Fox as our guest today. She's been wildly entertaining, and she's pretty great. She's pretty good.
Expert. Or entertained.
Entertained is also good. She's really great. We were talking about some of the exhibits that are here. The Peabody Essex right now has a great big exhibit about several empresses of China, and you get to go through in historical order and see big portraits of each empress and things that she wore and things that she ate off of and her shoes and so on. And as you go through, the empresses are different ages, and then like the last one is recent enough that there's a big photograph of her. And it's a pretty interesting, large exhibit.
Exactly.
There's
a lot of time periods. Covers a lot of
ground. And then there's also what is clearly a regular ongoing exhibit of sort of New England 1850s Americana. And there's a whole exhibit about boats.
It was surprising here up in Salem. I wouldn't have expected.
It's very New England.
Yeah.
And it doesn't shock me that, you know, the history of New England painting would have a lot of boats in it. And then there's also some cool little exhibits. There's an interesting one about Japanese art. There's a whole weird one about, basically about white people going to China and really screwing things up over there. That was a really strange exhibit.
Cool, yeah.
Exactly. There's a small Indian painting exhibit. So there's a lot of cool stuff to look at here. Ken, tell me again. We were talking about your favorite.
Oh, did I mention the earlier? And the exhibit is like a whole section with like a bunch of painted people. Like American, like, you know, quote unquote royalty or whatever.
Right, the American New England one, it's a lot of portraits, yeah.
And they had one section with like a lot of women's portraits or whatever, and the one that stood out was the guy who I presumed was in the doghouse at some point. Because he painted, not that he can't want to paint a portrait of his wife, but it just seems kind of like, you know.
Who'd want to paint a portrait of their wife? Come on.
You could. It's kind of pandering, I thought. It's like, okay, dude, we know what you're doing. But it's like the painting is Mrs. Kroll in yellow, about 1934, it says, painted by Leon Kroll. And I immediately got a backstory that somehow Leon is screwed up somehow.
Definitely.
Yeah. Because he paints in this, like, golden, like, you know, she looks like an Oscar statue almost.
She does.
But she's showing, you got a little risque, she's showing, like, a little bit of ankle.
Yeah, she's so coming up the stairs, like, going to sleep, yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to, like, make her, like, oh, I'm gonna get back in her good graces here. I'm going to make her look great in this painting. And she stands at the most, and, like, the background is drab and dull, but he makes sure she stands out. And, like I said, I just assumed that Mr. Kroll there, you know, he can pick anybody to be a model. But he's like, you know what?
Right.
I screwed this up. Let me make it right. I'm going to paint you. I'll make you look better than anybody else in 1934 or whatever.
Whatever it was. Yeah, and it's true. With, like, that whole exhibit has a bunch of paintings of New England rich ladies, and they are all dogs. None of them look particularly good.
I blame cholera. Was that out there? I don't know.
It may have been.
Some scurvy.
It's not like the guys look better. They also don't look good. But, you know, people in the 1850s are bad looking people.
Yeah, they were pretty rough.
What was that? It's very like John Singer Sargent, sort of like 1850s portraiture. One of them is the daughter of the founder of Lawrence, Massachusetts, is one of the photos. And she, if you put her in like a Boston Red Sox hoodie, she looks like she is standing. She has the exact expression on her face that a girl would have standing in line at a Dunkin' Donuts, like shitting on her friend. You know? She just has that look to her. And it's so New England to me. There's also, I want to say, there's maybe Longfellow's sister. I can't remember exactly the famous author, but some famous author, New England author, his sister is one of the photos. And she looks terrible. She's balding, you know, the whole nine yards. New England ladies, not the best look.
That they probably worked on it a lot.
Right. Those photos probably make them look better than they looked in real life. You have to imagine that nobody was sitting around like, no, get every piece of acne you can. So it seems rough.
Yeah, I think it was pretty rough.
But also the photos of the guys, they don't look good either.
Yeah, it's a lot of guys who think they look, you know, good. And
Yeah, it's amusing. Of all the portraits of the men, there's one of Alexander Hamilton, and it makes you realize the person who painted Alexander Hamilton worked very hard to make him look good. He's got him like leaning in this way where he looks very relaxed, but also very rich.
But he couldn't hide the fact that his hair is thinning.
Right.
He's probably going bald, and he's probably like 27, maybe.
Who knows?
I guess he's about his late 20s. Good call.
So it's John a weird, Trumbull, weird thing. Also, all the dudes are overweight, which I was like, go. You go get them.
Nobody ate like kale or anything back.
Yeah, nobody's eating any kale. Yeah. People are just dealing. Yeah. So it was fascinating to see all those portraits. The other thing that they have in that American exhibit is a lot of furniture, because that's the only art that New Englanders made, is portraits and furniture.
They want to see where to sit and eat, which goes back to the overweight guys. There are a lot of people sitting down and eating.
Yes.
And, you know,
so there's we were noting one of the parts of the exhibit is that they invented ladies' furniture at that time. Very amusing, especially considering that now it's not okay to have a lady's pen. But at that time, people were like, oh, we'll make the same furniture as usual with skinnier legs. We'll call it ladies' furniture. And it was all the rage instantly. Just like slightly smaller, skinnier legs, same furniture. And I find it very amusing that some, like, I don't think they had the same level of advertising that we currently live with, but, you know, some guy walks into a shop and is thinking, hey, my wife can read. I could buy her this desk.
Well, I think, why would they, were they allowed, I mean, a desk for writing? Like, why would they, you know, I don't think they sent women to school that much.
Right, right. You know, you so didn't it's get a, out it's the a, house it's that like much. A, it's like a nice, like, you're so smart, you need your own desk, you know?
Can you imagine what letters, well, I probably don't have to imagine, probably find what letters back in those days, the women were like, what did you talk about?
I have no
idea. You
didn't
go out the house. You didn't,
your I, you know, I bet I know and... what it is. I bet it's exactly like conversations with your grandma, where it's like, so-and-so has a lung problem. And, you know, it's just like, who had a child, who's ill, that kind of thing.
The weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's raining again in New England. Love, Agnes.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Your dearest Agnes. I had to put that in there too.
So we liked the New England exhibit a lot. That was pretty good. There was a lot to look at.
It was a glimpse into their horrible, miserable lives.
Yeah, it seems, I'm glad I didn't live there then. Seems like it sucks.
You. Well, speaking of which, though,
Ken doesn't want to live there either. Surprise!
Probably not. But speaking of, it was a series of paintings around that same year. Then we talk about like the a lot of paintings of ships and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's the next section.
How about this one series that was hilarious?
yes,
a series of paintings. It was a series of paintings by John Cleveley, I guess it is. It's called The Burning of the Luxborough Galley in 1759.
Sounds like a Cure it's album, a... Boats on Fire.
It's a series of, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paintings. And what it depicts is a ship that, it caught on fire when two boys ignited rum leaking from a cask.
Nice.
So that's weird. Like, well, you know,
were they playing with matches? How do you
even
do that?
Exactly. Were they drinking? Well, I don't know what they were doing. 16 crew members died when the ship exploded.
Nice.
And the paintings show this whole series. They showed a boat exploding. Then they show it like sinking. Then 23 escaped by another boat. They show that going off. Then they had to make sails out of their clothes. Then they land on this island toward Newfoundland. They had no food or water, and some of them died. The others were to cannibalism. Then 12 days after the explosion, 7 of them reached the shore and 1 died after that. Now, what kind of hilarious is that they were involved before that. They were delivering slaves to the Caribbean, which makes it hilarious. Now, of course, it's like a tragedy. Like, oh, you're dead. It is hilarious. I recommend anybody come see this series of paintings. You will laugh your head off.
It's
like, look at these idiots.
It's like a proto-comic book.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious. It is a riot. It would make a great Peanuts strip with all the panels.
Yes.
It would be a great.
Yeah. I like that they had to go to that much work to make it, too. It's like 6 different oil paintings. Very careful. It's like very, very carefully detailing these guys starving. Very, very carefully detailing them being burned
the
alive in a tub of water. Yeah. Just ridiculous.
The Burning of the Luxborough Galley.
So that's that's a charmer.
That's a good one.
It's a charmer.
It's a real knee slapper.
The boat section was interesting. There's a, like, boats are not exciting. Let's just be straight there.
If you're not in the water,
I'm not a,
what good are
not a boat fan. Yeah. But I did like that they sort of, through the course of the exhibit, you see how paintings reflect a time when boats are like a major way that things get done. You know, it's the only way you can get from A to B. And so it's the only way you can get things that you didn't grow in your own town. And then slowly you see the rise of like there's one painting that's clearly just like, this boat's so nice, you can take your wife on it. And that's horrifying. But slowly the boats become more and more not a part of necessity in trade, but just like something that is around that nobody needs particularly.
Exactly. But we got so used to it.
So there's cruises and so on and people just using boats for no particular reason. And then little by little, as boats sort of fall back as a major mode of transportation, then they'll have like tiny models of boats and great big models of boats and like advertising to try and get people to keep coming on boats. And it's very amusing
it's sort
to
of like
watch
the yellow cabs and Uber now.
Yes.
It's like, no, we don't need boats anymore.
It's very amusing to watch this whole arc of like it begins and it's so vital and then it just turns into something we all laugh at and then it dies.
I mean, it looked cool. They had this giant Queen Elizabeth model ship.
Yeah, there's some huge models.
It's like a cool way to travel, but then you always got Titanic in the back of your brain.
That's true.
Either that or some weird bowel disease.
The models made me realize how much, like the when you look at the model, what is it, eye level? It's just tons of like tiny ropes to hold everything together. It made me realize like boats are less, before motor boats, like they're basically huge water skateboards. And you like have all these ropes to turn them this way and that way. And like it sounds like a ton of awful work to sail.
It does.
I've never been sailing, but it sounds terrible.
Well, I just can't get over the idea of like, you know, just being on this one thing, like all the poop or whatever is going in there. Everybody's using the bathroom. I'm sure they just dump it in the water and stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's just going right over the side.
Big like botulism box or whatever.
Yeah.
Sailors
well,
never feel
the truth is, though, at that time on land, it's the same deal. At least
that's
the boat's
true.
Moving.
But I can get away from the poop on land. I'm going to go over here now. That boat, I'm sitting on top of it.
Yeah.
Know, right?
Humans, we're not neat. We're not tidy. Yeah.
We need
not
some
as
work.
A rule.
We need work. We need to work on that system. We need to evolve a little bit more, like, you know, recycled poop. I don't know how inside ourselves.
That's coming. That's so coming. Anyway, speaking of recycled poop, one of the biggest exhibits, one of the biggest features of the boating exhibit is this really cool thing called Cleopatra's Barge, where you can walk inside a life-size model of the inside of one of the ships, and they built in a creaky floor on purpose so that it, like, makes noise when you walk by. And it's a curious exhibit because you can only walk through a little chunk of it, but you get to see like, oh, this is what was inside there. And it's mostly like cabinetry with dishes in it,
exactly.
Which are all displayed. Like, you know how your grandma displays her fine china in little, like, so that the plates are sitting vertically.
So you can see like the nice design.
So you can
the
see
plate,
the design on the plate.
Like that,
So it's nothing but that. And it's like, why? You're on a boat. Like, that's the worst place to display your plates in the known universe. And also,
you mean
like,
boats are known for their stability and their tendency not to move.
And also, like, every painting you've just seen is boats going through the water at impossible angles.
Leaning by, yeah, it is, yeah.
And so it made me wonder, like, how did any of this stuff stay in glass cabinets? And so they've got, like, a table out that you would clearly sit at for your captain's table after dinner drink or whatever. And it's covered in felt, like a pool table, so, which would keep your glass from sliding.
Right.
So there's a little concession to that.
Yeah. But it just doesn't seem like a good...
I don't understand why you would display vertical plates... Just like sitting. Why wouldn't you? Like, if you're going to display it, then nail
really
it to the wall of the boat. It's very
really
odd. I was very confused by that.
Just glass, period. I mean, if I'm on a boat rocking, I don't want to be slammed into a glass.
I know.
I don't
want to. Like, some of it made me think, like, oh, maybe there's just. It's not like they could be like, get me a plastic one, because that doesn't exist. So.
I'm sure they could have done some of their, like. You know,
it was weird.
Wooden.
That's all I'm saying.
Cabinet.
Yeah,
you
why not? Do you need
bit?
To see?
I don't know.
Anyway. Anyway, Cleopatra's Barge is interesting. I also liked that in that exhibit they have a big chunk where it teaches you about the identification of paintings. Like, they have a painting that they're not sure who painted it. And it's a painting that had been on Antiques Roadshow in 2006. And the guy on Antiques Roadshow said, oh, this looks like it might be by... this guy, and the guy's name is Buttersworth, which is whatever. Anyway, then they show you the painting, and they show you some Buttersworths so you can compare. But then, I know, it's not a painting of syrup, it's just of a
butt. I was going to ask. That's a real person. Like, no, that's her husband. That's why she got the missus in front of her. Okay.
And then they say, or it could be by this guy Jacobson, and they show you some of his paintings. And then you can sit there and compare. And there's a little box you can lift up to see what people have decided over time. So that was really cool. Like, you can take a look and be like, oh, the painting is of a, guess what? It's of a boat, and it's leaning at a very difficult angle. Looks like it's about to tip over, which is apparently how you paint all paintings of boats. So
there's never been an upright boat in the history of boats.
Not in a painting. Nope. I understand. Why it would look silly if it wasn't. It would look like it wasn't moving.
Well, yes, exactly. I guess that's why. But I'm going to look for one now. Now you have me intrigued. I'm going to find an upright, horizontal boat just sailing smoothly on this glass ocean. I'm going to find one. You watch.
So they, you know, the guy Buttersworth, all his boats are at these very, very difficult angles. And so you're like, oh, well, that's a severe angle. Maybe it's by this guy. But then you notice that Jacobson paints water in this very specific way where it looks like the water is, it looks like someone put a giant fan at the bottom of the ocean so that all the waves are in exact rhythm together. Like, it's very unnatural looking water. When you actually look at water, it's in motion constantly. And so none of it is kind of in the same place at the same time. But this guy, Jacobson, all his waves are like patterned and very specific.
I think it's like people who can't like draw hands and feet. They always draw like paint the person with their hands behind their back.
Yes, or, yeah.
So he just, you know, to make one kind of wave.
Right, and he just repeated it.
The other way. So he just, there's no list.
Yes. So all his water looks like that, and the painting has that kind of water. So it's like, oh, maybe it's this other guy. And anyway, that's a nice little thing
he's
that
like
you can
the first
check out.
Copy paster.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Great. That's a good trick. Okay, so we've talked about boats. We talked about the New England Americana. One of my favorite paintings in this whole exhibit, actually, or the whole museum, rather, was there's a small section of paintings by and about India in the 80s, which is a weird thing to hang an exhibit together on. But one of the paintings was my favorite in the whole museum. It's called The Lady with the Gas Canister. It's by Bikash Bhattacharjee, which might be how you say his name. Anyway, it's from 1986. It's a really interesting painting. It's got a very Jackie Onassis pretty woman riding in a rickshaw, and she's carrying a gas canister. So it's somebody whose car broke down and has gotten a rickshaw to go to the gas station, get some more gas, go back to her car. And she's got on very 80s high fashion glasses that glint very loudly. And the painting is composed so that you notice her glasses first. And it's in the top left corner. And then there's a big sweep where you notice her glasses and then the gas can and then the guy who's carrying her. And there's a very nice sort of social structure to the painting because she's obviously got plenty of money and is very contemporary. And the gas can is not contemporary. It's like a 50s style. Looks like it's going to be used to make a hot air balloon go away. And then, of course, she's riding in a rickshaw being pulled along by this guy who harks back to 100 years ago and looks approximately 100 years old also. And it's got a lot of like social structure to it, and that's mimicked in the way the visual structure, and it's beautiful to look at. It's really nice. I like that painting a lot. That was really good.
It looks like actually that he's mimicking. He looks like he's wearing sunglasses too, but he's not.
Yeah, no, he just has eyes sunken from years of heavy labor.
Of dragging around women with gas canisters. Again with the gas canisters. But yeah, I think it's one of those, like, it looks like one of those propane tank things like you take home to cook and do
everything
else.
Yeah, it's a butane tank. Yeah. Right.
And which I, like I said, it scares me because I'm thinking one bump and then they're both gone.
Yeah, that's so true.
I don't know if those are its intention, but that's what I got from
that. That's the same right. reason I don't like to drive behind one of the big gas tankers on the highway.
Though. I know.
Right, right.
It's just a smaller version of that.
That's true.
So this painting is your worst nightmare, pretty much. Right, right in your lap. You don't want a gas can right in your lap as you ride. Oh, I hear you.
Right.
I hear
you. But it makes sense to me that if you're in, I don't know, if you're in Bombay and you have to get a gas can, mm-hmm. it's not going to be like the big plastic Home Depot thing with a spout on it. It's going to be whatever they used in 1955, and it's just still there. So it's got a nice, like, contemporary, older thing going on. It's a really cool painting.
And it's like the sunset going on yeah. behind them and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's nicely, like...
It looks like smoke from another gas canister that blew up earlier. So, I don't know what's going
That's good.
On there.
I like that it's... I don't like a lot of art from the 80s. I'm not into, like, here's some hot pink we're going to throw on this for no reason kind of art. But I like that it's both contemporary and very, very, like, portrait-ish looking, like something you might see in a magazine or on a film poster. But also, it's very painted, if that makes any sense. Like, you can really see the strokes and stuff. So it's got a lot of nice tensions in it. I really think it's good. Next to it is maybe the ugliest painting I've seen in a year, which is Manjit Bhawa's Dharma and the God from 1984, which is this horrifically bright red canvas with what looks like a seventh grader's depiction of what he thinks Hindu gods look like. It's so bad.
I have to disagree.
It's like, you like it? Really?
You go ahead and finish. I'll knock that every point.
It's like a pasty, chubby child with eight arms sitting atop like a, I don't even know what that is. Like, oh, I guess that's a cow with only one leg. Very unusual.
Exactly.
Very unusual. Oh, the perfect. Tail of the cow is also maybe a leg. You can't tell. And there's a lot of cow butt in this photo per square inch. That cow's butt crack is bigger than the entire body of the child sitting on it. It is a very strange painting.
Well, I'm sorry. You're wrong.
Okay, tell me why you like it.
Because, for one, it looks like he's, like, giving someone the finger.
It's true, the child is giving someone the finger.
Which, you know, that's always great in a painting. You don't see that enough.
It's true. I'm pro that, yeah.
Somebody flipping somebody off. You know, maybe it was originally in the Mrs. Whatever painting. I think originally, when he originally painted, she was giving him the finger because he screwed up Mrs. Cole. So maybe her painting, maybe, but... yeah, I like the slide, and really the description makes sense a little bit. I don't know. It said the bull has only one leg that represents truth. The bull, the other legs represent austerity, cleanliness, and mercy, but those have been cut off.
Clearly, because the person who made that painting had none of those things.
The bull maintains its balance, upholding a goddess of unknown name. So, yeah, and look, the goddess is like flipping one guy off over here, getting ready to flip another guy off over here, and then flipping this person on. The bull's got one leg. I love it. It's cool. I will put this on the wall where everyone
nice.
Can see. Isn't that right?
Okay.
I will make sure everybody, hey, come see my painting of the one-legged bull and the flipping goddess.
Yeah.
Come see this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do agree that it's a good idea to have people flipping people off in paintings. That's nice. I also think, like, I like the red versus pasty, too. I like the, like, high color contrast. I just think their child is so ugly that whatever's sitting on that cow is just, like, oh, you wouldn't hit it in third grade. It's so ugly.
It's a very marshmallowy painting.
Yeah, it's a really...
It's like a bull marshmallow kind of goddess thing.
There's very little relationship to anatomy there.
That's that weird butt thing is going on. I don't know what's going on there.
That's a lot of butt, yeah.
It's like a triple butt. Tri-butt. I don't know what it is.
But. Like when you... I can maybe say this because I'm very overweight, but when you get to be overweight your butt crack gets like four times longer in proportion to anything else that's going on. It's like it goes from your shoulder blades to the back of your knees, you know? And that is what's going on with that cow.
That cow is killing it. Working cow.
I know what we didn't talk about. Let's talk about palanquins, which we learned because of this museum, is the fancy word for boxes you carry a rich lady in. Before there were taxis or Uber, rich women around the world went places by being carted by dudes in a box. Which is, it's like both better and worse.
It was a very elegant box, I give them that. Like, you know.
So there's one, there's a Japanese Edo period palanquin that the queen, I guess, would be carried around and a noble woman would be carried around. And I thought that one was remarkable because it's so small. I'm not sure how she would fit in there. It's like, it's got a top. She would have to be short enough to sit in it cross-legged and not hit her head. And I just can't, maybe she sat like pin-up style, leaning on one elbow or something. I can't figure out how she would be short enough to fit in there.
It's like one of the magician's trick. Maybe it was another box that had the other half over it.
Maybe.
It is a very small
box. It's tiny. It's super small.
Yeah.
So that was unusual.
Unless they had like a bottom, I don't know, like a secret compartment at the bottom to stretch your feet out. Or
maybe.
You just stick them out the window. They had a little tiny
windows. Or maybe, maybe that was the deal if you were a courtesan or whatever it is. I'm probably conflating like 5,000 things, but during the exhibit of the Chinese empresses, they talk about what station in life those empresses began, and it's usually terrible. They're usually like maids to rich people, and they basically it's your options as a female person in long ago China were be a maid to a very rich guy, get him to make you pregnant, and then if you are lucky enough to have a son, you can help the child get into power, and then if your son dies after that, you get his job.
That is a lot of work to go through.
What a pain in the ass.
But you get to ride about in a tiny box.
Yeah, that's true. That's the good deal.
Yeah.
Good part of the deal. You get to ride around in a little tiny box.
Like you're in the backyard. You just punch
you don't get to walk. You have to wear tiny, tiny, tiny shoes, and you ride around in a box as a result of all that work. Yeah. Kind of a bummer. It makes the pain faces on these 60-year-old empresses seem very reasonable. So that was cool. Palanquins were things we learned about. I liked there were a bunch of porcelain figures in one section.
Mm-hmm.
There were porcelain tigers and a porcelain elephant. Mm-hmm. It was a great little tiny elephant with people eyes that I liked a lot. It had like classic like almond shaped eyes on either side, but it was an elephant. That was really cool. It's very creepy looking. White porcelain with a lot of decorations. And all the porcelain animals have this look on their face just because of the way that you're at that time, the artistic style was to make mouths that are like very long and turn up just a tiny bit at the end. That's what cool mouths look like. So they put them on animals as well as people. And like when it's in 3D, the mouth is like 4 feet long and it ends up looking real weird. It's a very like Disney crocodile mouth thing that's happening. So I liked the porcelain elephants. That's from a little subsection called Artists in Arita. I'm not even sure where that is, but I'll find out and put it in the notes.
I like the, speaking of the stoneware beer box.
Oh, I missed that. Tell me about it.
It's
cool.
It's the, Mishima Kimio. I'm screwing up his name, so I guess he's still around. He made it in 2007, so unless something happened to him, I guess he's still around. But it's like I've had the beer before, I believe. Asahi beer. But anyway, it's like a beer, like you buy like a 24-pack of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And he made and you crush it. You drink all the beer, you crush it up, you throw it away, whatever. He's made a stoneware version of that, of this old empty, torn-up beer case. And it's like, if you can picture a 24-pack of Bud Light or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Made out of stoneware, you have his.
It very much answers the question, what if Andy Warhol, instead of a tomato soup can, had chosen a 30-rack of Bud Light Lime? Yeah.
We would say he wouldn't. Might have, if he was still alive today, he'd be working in Bud Light Lime.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A Butterita. What's it called? Limeritas.
Limeritas. There you go. There you go. Yeah. There was one Japanese helmet that I thought was really cool looking called Helmet with Dragonfly. There's a bunch of exhibits, but the Japanese section had some really interesting small works. And as you're going through, you see a lot of little porcelain pieces, a lot of just like little accoutrements and like basically keychains, except there are no keys. So it's other, you know, it's just stuff you wear on your clothes. And then you come around and there's this hilarious Dr. Seuss looking wizard hat. And it turns out to be made, it looks just like a Dr. Seuss wizard hat. Looks very pointy and like it has a nice, you know, crinkle to it. And it's got these big red spirals on either side that would sit at your temples and be very difficult to wear around and would very much get in your way. And then you realize as you come closer that it's not made out of cloth. It's made out of, like, metal. And it's the unwieldiness of that hat made me very entertained and charmed. And it's so unwieldy because it was supposed to look like a dragonfly, which would presumably be annoying to your enemies.
But if your enemies just keep waving it.
But if you're wearing that hat, it seems like it'd be much more annoying to you.
Well, I was struck by the big red. I thought it was a big red Donald Trump looking tie.
No, there tell was, me, yeah, which one? Oh, here. Yeah, that thing.
Which I found out is just a ceremonial sash with flower basket, bats, and our symbols. But I couldn't stop looking at anything. That's if Trump was born in China. And,
it's a total Trump tie. You're right. You're right. Is that part of the Empress part?
Yeah. So, yeah, I was disturbed by it. It was something he would probably enjoy.
The display.
Which makes me hate it even more. So.
The displaying of clothes as art is always weird. They do as much as possible to take the person out of them. Mm-hmm. So they're just displayed on these giant, like, crucifix crosses so that they're as flat out as they can be. Which, I don't know how you make clothes. Maybe when you make clothes in, you know, Emperor China, you make them flat. I don't know what you do. But it's a weird way to display them because it makes it, like, you can see all of it, which I presume is the point.
Instead of putting it on, like, a human shape.
Yeah, you could put it on a mannequin and see how it looks on a person.
Yeah.
But no, that would be what Macy's does. Here in a museum, we got to make sure that it looks like we crucified 20 women.
They're far more interested in the fabric than the actual life it was.
Yeah, it's funny. What else? I liked, again, in the Japanese section, there was a great gargoyle head that somebody bothered to put, again, with the, like, weird mouth on it, and someone put hair on the gargoyle, but they made it balding, and I thought that was really funny. They, like, gave it hair, so, like, it's stone, and they got, like, wispy... You know, like, you know how at Christmas time you can buy fake snow and it's just this wispy cotton candy stuff?
Right.
They took some of that and stuck it to the stone, but they didn't, they just gave it, like, some bad hair at the ears. I thought that was a lot of trouble to go to make a point that someone has a bad hair time. It was cute.
It was one, like, a exhibit and a modern, like, Japanese or Chinese art, rather. Sorry. And the one they had Hello Kitty.
Oh, yeah. Hello Kitty is the beginning of one section.
They had questions at the end.
Yeah,
and
right.
And one, like, they had different card view. Like, they have a question. You would answer the question on an index card and put it in the slot.
Right.
And one was, if you could ask Hello Kitty one question, what would it be? And some poor, sad kid apparently wrote on a card, her question to Hello Kitty was, do you like me? Circle one, please. And it was like, Y or N? Oh, no.
That poor kid.
She's looking for validation from Hello Kitty.
Oh, my God, poor that kid. Poor child.
That's so sad. And what if Hello Kitty said no? What happened then? Oh, God.
Poor so kid's going to grow up and find out that Hello Kitty always says no.
It's so sad. It's going to be so sad. But
that
hilarious
is sad.
At the same time.
Yeah.
This kid's like, help me, Hello Kitty.
Yeah, there's some. There's a section at the end of the Chinese Empress's exhibit that is similar, where they ask you a question and then people who come to the museum can write on a piece of paper what they think. And that one is, what do you think of women in power?
Yes.
Which, of course, elicits terrible answers. There's clearly some, like, women who brought their kids to the museum who have these, like, very, like, hard pressing pen marks where they're like, women need to be treated better. And then there's like little kids who just wrote their own name. And like, there's definitely one like college girl with that very like slanted to one side of big round letters. And she's like, you know, whatever her civics teacher told her is what she says. It's very depressing.
Yeah, I saw quite a few girl powers. So.
Yeah.
P-O-W-R. I'm like, is that a thing? I don't know. I don't know the modern spelling of those words now.
Okay, one last thing I want to catch. So, in some of the exhibits, they would, like we were saying at the beginning, like they would just throw in weird things here and there. Mm-hmm. And there's one in particular where most of the exhibit is from 200 or 300 years ago, and then all of a sudden you'd see a sculpture piece from like 2003 or 1987, yeah. And they were so weird. Particularly, there was a Hummels called the Seven Deadly Sins. These like smooth ceramic glossy Hummels of children who were grayed out riding these high color little grotesque animals who represented the seven deadly sins. And then at the top of each animal was a monkey that was doing whatever the sin was. And it was clearly representing like their parents' mistakes. And they were so ugly. Oh my God, those things were so ugly. I especially disliked, you know, it's the seven deadly sins. So those, I had to memorize those for school. So those are Pusaggle, which is pride, envy, wrath, lust. No, Pusaggle. Pride, envy, wrath, sloth, avarice, gluttony, lust. That's how, what I went to a Jesuit school. Surprise. So that's what you had to do there. And lust is an unbelievably ugly piece of ceramic work. It's got, like, the child is... that's riding on the back of the little animal. The animal is like sticking its tongue out luridly. And then the child is always like gray and hurt riding on it. And then the monkey, for lust, they just turned it into this woman with her tits out. So nasty.
Well, here you're
so
wrong
nasty.
Again.
So nasty.
Here you are wrong again.
Tell me what you liked.
Oh, all of them. I would buy the whole set. I'd collect them all. As
fantastic.
They say, Pokemon. I would
fantastic.
Put them around. The one for a gluttony has like a monkey at the top, like a little grayed out boy with a hamburger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like eating mouth all jaw. He's riding a pig, of course.
Of course, yes.
And the monkey on top has his hand full of cake, and he has a hamburger jammed in his mouth. So
right.
He's eating it all. And
I liked that the sloth one, the kid had really deep bags under his eyes. So stupid.
Oh, I would definitely have that.
And it's such a loud exhibit in that room. It just takes it over.
But that was the strangest room because
yeah,
in that room, that was the mission. That was like, eh, we like this. Let's put this somewhere. Because right. It didn't have anything to do with anything else around.
No, they were very just like.
I just donated to them and like, you know what?
Yeah, so you get like a nice like dish from 1850 next to that thing.
Yeah, they did. They had these like these modern like carved out of elegant wood, you know, kitchen not kitchen but table setting thing.
Right.
And you went straight from that to these pretty, you know, I mean, they were, it was a shift. It was a shift.
Yeah, it's a shift. Change. It's a shift. Yeah. Yeah, the ugliest Hummels I've ever seen. Easily.
Well, I highly disagree. I would buy them all. I'm going to contact Russell Biles. So that'd be Biles,
yeah.
Too. So,
oh, yeah. Very intense.
Yeah.
So that one was from 2003. And right around the corner from it, was an exhibit called Carrie in Massachusetts, called Carrie in Massachusetts. Very bizarre. A clay sculpture of John, this is from 2004, of John Carrie's face riding, I think it was a donkey. Is it an elephant?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's an elephant.
But I think there was a donkey on top of his head.
There's a donkey on top of Carrie's head. He's riding an elephant, and the elephant is pooping George Bush. Literally. It is extremely difficult to look at. And the style of, like, the rendering of people's faces is like Doonesbury cartoon style. So it is deeply ugly.
And the elephant has two trunks, too. He has a regular trunk. And his tail is a trunk.
I don't know what that's about.
I don't know.
I think it's just to draw attention to the George Bush thing.
And I looked up the artist with a Jim Buddy, Budde.
Yeah.
And he's a Boise State ceramics professor. They have a picture of him in his like, studio sitting under one of those old-fashioned giant hair dryers. Like
yeah.
Big bullet hair.
He seems like a fun guy in this photo, but that is not a fun piece of ceramics. And it's also like, like, have you ever
this
taken
your third strike, you know?
Like sorry. Ken and I always disagree, which is fine. Which is fine. The nightmares he wants in his house are very different from the nightmares I want in mine. And that is totally okay. Have you ever taken a ceramics class? My mom taught preschool art, so I've taken a zillion ceramics classes. And the style of ceramics that Carrie won is like when you first make something and you have no idea how to glaze anything.
Wait a minute. This guy's a professor of ceramics.
I know. Why didn't he glaze his piece?
Oh, boy. You don't understand.
Like, even the Hummels guy was at least like, let's make it look nice. Nice. We're probably the last people in the museum at this point. We got kicked out of our museum on our third episode by staying too long yapping.
Yeah, it closes in 4 minutes.
Okay. Well, I think we've said... Do you have anything else that you want to talk about real quick?
No.
I think we covered most of it. As usual, we leave a little behind in case you ever want to come here, but we know that you won't. So,
you know they won't come here.
Nobody's coming here. Our four listeners? No, none of them are coming here. I'm Angela Sawyer. Ken Green is my co-host. He's wonderful. He likes paintings that I don't like, and I like paintings he doesn't like, and that is why this podcast is a good time. Our excellent guest, Kim Fox, she was fantastic. And this was the Peabody Essex Museum, which was pretty good, honestly. We laughed, and we laughed at. And those are both things that I like to do in a museum. So this has been the Naval Gaze, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks.